Coming up on 3 and Out.
T.J. Anderson, full head of steam, to the end zone, touchdown, Denver!
With a 1-2 punch in the backfield, the Broncos' ground game paved the way to victory over the Texans.
You know, the more carries me and CJ get, the more and more we start heating up, and you know, we did so tonight.
The no-fly zone smothered the Houston passing game in dominating fashion.
I looked up in the fourth quarter, man, before I think that last drive, he had like 70 yards passing.
It's all smiles now, but there's more work to be done. And football is one tough sport.
I dislocated my finger on his helmet. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to lay here for a minute and let this calf calm down and pop my finger back in, and then I was good.
What? Time to relax, because 3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and we've got a great show on tap for you as the Broncos got things back on track on Monday night. So let's get things started with First Down. Here with Matt Boyer now, and Matt, the Broncos ground game really got going on Monday night against the Texans. What was different about the way they were doing things?
I think that it was just a number of different things. One, I think Devontae Booker had probably his best game as a Bronco, right? We've seen signs of him start to really flourish, the power runs, the nice cuts up field, and I think this last game against the Texans, he put it all together, right? I think he had probably his most complete game. I also think that the Broncos got some continuity back. Russell Okung was back in the lineup. He looked a lot better than he had in recent weeks. I think that they corrected a lot of mistakes. I think those 11 days off, too, really had an impact on correcting those mistakes along the offensive line in the run game. And I think that it showed 190 yards rushing for the Broncos. That's pretty spectacular when you think about all the different things that they want to do. This is a team that wants to establish the run, wants to run the football effectively, and that'll open things up for Trevor Siemian and Emmanuel Sanders in the passing game. So that being said, I think it was probably their most complete performance as an offensive unit, and I think this might be a sign of things to come.
Yeah, most definitely. It's incredible how it takes the entire offense to really get it going. And on Tuesday, head coach Gary Kubiak said that Trevor Siemian actually checked the Broncos in to a lot of those good runs, trusting Siemian to make some of those play calls along the offensive line. The Broncos, it was their best rushing performance of the season, and they want to keep it going.
You know, up front, we played a whole lot better. In the backfield, we played a whole lot better. Myself and Book making decisions, and our execution, our preparation, we were just excited.
I've been running like this, you know, my whole career, ever since I was in Pop Warner. You know, just whatever that first man, you know, try to tackle me, I try to make him pay and don't let the, you know, first guy tackle me.
It just feels good to get back on track with the run game. But like I said, week one and week two, we got to be consistent. So got to push it next week to San Diego.
Time for a second down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, it's time to talk about the no-fly zone. They were really all over the place and made Brock Osweiler's return to Denver pretty miserable.
Yeah, they did a good job of reacting to what Houston was doing. Certainly, you know, the Texans were trying to maximize the protection on Brock Osweiler and neutralize the Broncos' pass rush. So you saw a lot of plays where you only had three receiving targets going out. You'd see a tight end and a running back stay in to block. And then you supplement that with good coverage on the outside, not only man-to-man coverage from the cornerbacks, but early on the safeties coming over to help on the deep ball, which took away the deep options the Texans had. And then as the game went on, you know, the Texans were looking for more intermediate stuff, and you saw the Broncos really packing the coverage in right around the sticks, forcing Osweiler to settle for the underneath stuff that the Broncos were easily able to take care of. It was a different kind of defense from the Broncos. Certainly, they were adapting what Texans were doing, but it was very effective and keeps the Broncos top of the league in pass D.
Almost looked like Osweiler was trying to avoid not getting sacked, just really the quick throws. Just taking a look at some of the numbers, he was 22 of 41 for 131 yards. The Broncos are giving up an average of 175 yards per game. That's tops in the NFL. Mace, you think this secondary is the best in the NFL?
Certainly appears that way. At 175-yard figure, that's 24 yards better than the Broncos had last year. And we know how good they were on pass defense last year. So certainly, by all indications, it's an elite group. If they can figure out how to defend the run a bit better, this defense is right back where it was last year, maybe even better.
It was a great performance on Monday night, but hey, that's what they expect from themselves.
And if we come out and play the way Broncos football and everybody in the secondary is on the same page, we're capable of doing this every week. So
We just have got to have another great week of practice like we did last week and keep it rolling.
And I feel like our back end is amazing. You know, we have the number one back end in football. So, you know, for them to come out here and shine like they did was tremendous.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. And Ben, the Broncos now turn their sights to the San Diego Chargers, playing the Chargers for the second time in just 3 weeks.
Right. I mean, it's kind of a good situation to be in, obviously not coming off that loss from that last game. But you don't have to completely reboot your preparation for them. They're still the same team they were 2 weeks ago. There's no changes there. So really, they can just build on the preparations they've already done 2 weeks ago. Take this last game, add that to it, and just focus on executing that game plan, maybe tweaking it a little bit. Obviously, Coach Kubiak's back, so it'll be a completely different game. But, yeah, there are some difficulties there, but also some benefits of playing the same team twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it helps coming off the short week here with the Monday night game. That San Diego game the first time around, the Chargers jumped out to a 21-3 lead, and Phillip Rivers threw for 178 yards. What can the Broncos do differently this time?
They obviously gave up that touchdown on the opening drive, which put the Broncos really on their heels to open the game. However, defensively, I think you would stick with that game plan if you can hold them to with the number of points they had last time. Offensively, you just want to get off to a better start. Control those penalties. They had a lot of penalties in that game. Get some of that efficiency that we saw this previous week against the Texans on the ground game. And then really that opens up everything else.
Well, we'll talk about penalties coming up in fourth down with some of your Twitter questions. But the Broncos bounced back, got back on track against Monday Night Football, and now they'll look to wash that bad taste in the division out against the Chargers.
They're playing really good right now. Phillip's playing really good, very aggressive on the defensive side of the ball, getting turnovers. And like I said, I think we're in an extremely tough division this year. I mean, everybody's playing well. It's going to be a really long, tough road. So these division games will be big games when it's all said and done.
It's time for fourth down. And before we get to your Twitter questions, a quick word from American Financing. We'll be right back with our intern extraordinaires.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes, and you can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
We're back here on 3 and Out. It's time for your favorite part of the show. I'm Caroline Deisley.
And I'm Eric Dallala. Let's get right to your questions. First, from Daylon Hilty. Andy Janovich, what are his coaches and his fellow players saying about his impact, literally, on the game? Matt Boyer, you can take this one.
Well, I think Andy Janovich is having a huge impact on the Broncos offense. He's gotten plenty of praise from teammates and coaches alike. Coach Gary Kubiak even saying this week that he's been very pleased with his progress. He's a very smart kid, and he's picking up the offense well. And when you've got a guy like C.J. Anderson behind him, Anderson's really bringing him along, one of the guys that knows the playbook inside and out on this Broncos roster. So when you've got a guy like C.J. Anderson mentoring a young guy like Andy Janovich, the only place he can go is up. I also think that getting Janovich more involved has also led him to be more effective. You saw him catch a couple of passes. He got a couple of draw plays in that last game against the Houston Texans. So I think that his growth and I think his maturity has been spurred on by guys like C.J. Anderson bringing him along. And I think he's going to be a big part of this Broncos offense if they're to succeed later on in the season.
Thanks, Matt. Caroline, why don't you take the next one?
Of course, Mace, we've got one for you from B-Rick, and he wants to know what is going on with our tight ends.
You know, Rick, that's a really good question. Of course, the Broncos made news on Tuesday, a week before the trading deadline, trading for A.J. Derby from the Patriots, and he's a really interesting prospect. He's a converted quarterback, actually didn't take up tight end until his senior year at Arkansas. You know, it's going to be interesting to see where he fits in. Now you have two tight ends that were part of the 2015 draft class in Jeff Heirman and A.J. Derby, but certainly what you want to see on the field in the short run, you want to see the Broncos get the tight ends open more often. Virgil Green was not targeted on Monday night. John Phillips, you know, he's more a blocking tight end. He wasn't that involved in the passing game as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. I don't think you're going to have many nights
like Monday night where the Broncos don't target their tight ends. But certainly the addition of Derby, you wonder what's going to happen with the Broncos. A lot more questions than answers at this point. Really, the only thing you know is that Virgil Green's going to be the primary target, and he's not going to have many nights like he did Monday where he's not targeted. But still, a lot of questions there. I think the next few weeks are going to answer some of them.
All right, Mace, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Eric, finish it off.
Yep, from Daniel Gonzalez, our number one fan. He wants to know, are all these holding penalties the result of refs being a little too ticky-tacky, or are players doing something wrong? Swanson, tell us the answer.
Well, thanks for the question, Daniel. It's nice to have you back on the show. A little bit of both. I mean, Coach Kubiak was asked about this Tuesday morning at his press conference, and he said that, sure, there were some that he thought were fair penalties and some that he would call attention to when they review some of those with the league, as they do every week. So I don't think it's exactly one or the other. Frankly, it's a matter of discipline and execution like it is with penalties in all areas. The Broncos had those troubles going back to that Week 6 game against San Diego and a little bit in this past game against Houston. They had a couple holding penalties early, but cleaned it up, got their ground game going, found their rhythm, play-action pass opened up, and everything fell into place from there. So a little bit of both, but once you get everything in its right place, then everything will kind of filter down from there.
A number one answer for our number one fan from our number one associate editor.
And thank you guys, as always, for your questions. Keep sending them in. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. That's going to do it for this week's show. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, our intern extraordinaires, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.